Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Cresswell. I'm one of the leaders of The Hub Community Network and Trinity United's Digital Ministry Coordinator. And today we're trying out a first in a series of connecting with members of the Hub community, the Trinity community, United Church community, and beyond. And today we are talking with Lori Ann Livingston, who is a member of Trinity, has served in many ways in the church throughout her years as part of this community, and has also been part of sub-hubs like The Chosen, intergenerational sub-hub that happened this past spring of 2022. And we're chatting with Lori Ann today because she is about to embark on what is not exaggerating to say a journey. We throw that term around a lot, but it really is a journey. And as someone who loves watching movies about journey and reading books about journeys, and particularly as a Lord of the Rings fanatic that I am, the idea of walking across great vast expanses is so cool and exciting to me. And I will also confess the sin of jealousy, because I would love to be doing what Lori Ann is about to do. Lori Ann is embarking on a Camino walk in just a few days, right? A few days.
I leave tomorrow.
Leave tomorrow. So we're cutting this in just before, at the last possible time, before you leave. So thanks for being here, Lori Ann, and thanks for being willing to talk to us about this this journey that you're about to go on, this Camino walk. So maybe you could start by just telling us a little bit about what is this word Camino? What does that mean? And what is it that you're about to embark on?
Okay. So Camino, I'm not a Spanish speaker, so those who do speak Spanish can kind of correct me on this, but I think it means the way. So in my mind, a Camino starts kind of from your front door. So I'm going to Spain for my Camino, but lots of people do Caminos all over the world. You can do one here in Waterloo region. I'm actually doing a couple of Caminos, formal Caminos. I'm starting off on the north coast of Spain. Tomorrow I leave to fly into Paris, and then I take an evening flight to Biarritz. I'm staying overnight there near the airport, and then basically I get up and I start walking. So that goes along the north coast, and I'll be doing that for about 19, 20 days. Hopefully with great views, lots of elevation. And then I will switch over to what's called the Primitivo. So that's the very, very first Camino or pilgrimage path that King Alfonso II, I think, did in the 11th century. So it's the oldest path. Both of those Caminos are not very well traveled, and that's deliberately why I chose them. I didn't want to be fighting for a bed every night. the Camino Francis is the most popular one, and that one goes from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in France over the Pyrenees and then sort of through the center of Spain, whereas I'm kind of coming in from the top and going down into the over to Santiago. So Santiago is the goal. That's where most of these Caminos end up. Gotcha. There's a huge cathedral there where St. James is supposed to be buried. There's a lot of ritual at that cathedral for pilgrims who finish their Caminos. Awesome. I'm actually hoping to go on to the coast, to Murcia and Finisterre after. I'll probably take a bus.
Awesome. Yeah, I think you found it at that point. It's a walking-based journey. Some might say, because if you're traveling that far, you're backpacking, like you're bringing your things with you because you're going to be staying at,
yeah,
across.
There's lots of different ways to do it. The way I'm doing it is to carry everything that I need in, wow, on my back. So my backpack is about 6 kilograms, and but lots of people would, so people do this for all sorts of reasons. The main reason originally was a spiritual pilgrimage, but now people do it for exercise, for camaraderie, for all sorts of reasons. And so it changes for everybody. Some people will send their luggage ahead. Some people carry everything. Some will go by horseback or by bicycle. But to be considered a true pilgrim, you either have to arrive at the cathedral or do the last 100 kilometers by foot, by bicycle, or by horseback. So the total that I'm doing is about 837 kilometers.
Wow.
And for context, the Bruce Trail is actually longer. It's about 900 kilometers.
Right. So, yeah. Wow. That's the Bruce Trail, which for those who don't know is one of the longest trails in Canada. And I think the longest in Ontario, and it stretches from like Niagara basically all the way up into Northern Ontario. And I think there are a couple of folks from the Hub community. I think, I don't know if he has done this or is still planning to do this year, but I think Tim Watson has done most, if not all, the Bruce Trail, and some other folks in the camp community have done the Bruce. So that might be slightly longer, but 837 kilometers is still a huge distance that you're traveling.
It is a long way. I used to think, you know, why would anybody run a marathon? Like, it just, why would you do that? But here, I am actually going to be walking a marathon pretty much every day. I have some rest days built in just for recovery and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
do you know in advance, or is this something that has like a little bit of a frame or range, I should say? Do you know how many days this will be, or do you set a goal for that, or is it something that you intentionally leave a little more open?
I have left it very open. Which is very odd for me. Like, I'm certainly approaching this from a perspective of, I don't need to know everything. Like, I've done a lot of research, but I don't need to know where I'm going to sleep every night. Example. That actually kind of freaks me out a little bit. and probably in the moment, if I can't get a bed, I will be very freaked out and stressed. And I may have to walk another 10 kilometers that day or another.
Right. Yeah. Because you wouldn't be bringing a tent or something with you. It's not a tenting journey.
That's right. Yeah. And they actually don't really allow wild camping in Spain. So there's a whole infrastructure set up on the Camino. Most of them are very well, have lots of amenities and that sort of thing.
Right.
But the more remote ones, the ones I'm doing, the amenities are farther up. I just didn't want to get into a bed race. And so the whole idea of being a pilgrim is that you show up and you're sort of operating by faith that you will have a bed at the end of the day. And it might be a stable, it might be, you know, a cot on the town hall floor or something like that. But I'm counting on hospitality and good nature and the Camino way to have some place to stay at the end of the day.
Can you talk a little bit? I do want to, you've kind of touched on this, and I do want to get eventually to talking a little more about what drew you. But before we get to that, can you talk a little bit about the preparation that you've been undergoing? I've been following along, but for those who this could be brand new, what do you do and what have you been doing to prepare to walk 837 kilometers over a number of days or weeks? What have you been doing to prep for that?
Well, I'll tell you, I bought about 4 pairs of hiking boots and returned 3 of them.
So the right shoes.
In terms of walking. To me, I just thought I'll make do with what I've got, so I'm not buying a whole bunch of new equipment and that kind of thing. But to me, I'm splurging on my feet, my socks and my boots, because they're going to be my bread and butter for 6 weeks. In terms of walking, I started out doing longer walks in 2018. I started walking the Avon Trail, which goes from St. Mary's to Conestoga, and I did that in 5 seasons. So they were 17 to 22 kilometers each time. And then the pandemic hit, and all of a sudden I was walking all around the neighborhood, all around the city. I had a neighbor who walked with me virtually every day at 6:30, and we would walk for an hour. So I started to build up a bit of stamina. I took a lot of photographs because that became a huge part of my, in a way, it became a bit of a spiritual practice to go for a walk, to notice things and take photographs of things. And I noticed a lot of things that most people wouldn't notice if they were out for a walk. And then this year I've been doing a lot more sort of longer training treks. Last year I biked the Guelph to Goderich bike trail as well, just to build up a bit more fitness. And this year, I would say I did a 2-day back-to-back training hike in Beaver Valley, which is my stomping grounds. I grew up around Beaver Valley. And I took my pack and I gathered a few friends, and we did 14 kilometers one day and 15 the next. And the elevations, of course, are quite high in the valley. It was hard. I have to say it was hard. And I don't care how much you say you've trained. I don't think I've trained enough. I think it will be very, very difficult the first week or so until my body acclimatizes.
The rehearsal versus the real thing on the stage is always going to be different.
Exactly.
Whether it's the adrenaline, or like you said, even when you're training at home, there's no worry about the bed that night, like you referenced earlier, of you know exactly where it is, and you know that there is going to be a spot on the bed, versus you, especially those first few nights. I would imagine for me, it would be that would be running through my mind the whole time. Of at the end of the day, I am going on, hope and faith here that it is that my lodgings, that like you said, that hospitality will meet me where I need it to be, which is a really interesting, a huge theme in faith is, and in Jesus' ministry is hospitality, and on the other side, trust as well. And so you have to have a hope for that and a trust that it's going to come through. And when you're training, that element isn't really active yet.
That's right. Yeah. And full disclosure, I did book the first, I've got about the first 4 nights. Well, first 2 nights are booked. The third one is going to be my first experience trying to sleep in a pilgrim hostel.
Gotcha. So
I haven't booked that because they don't really take bookings for the municipal hostels.
Gotcha.
And then I booked the fourth night because it's still high holiday season on the north coast of Spain. So a lot of the accommodation is actually booked up. Mm. I'm going to play it by ear the first few days and see how it goes.
Gotcha.
You
mentioned when you have been going out for walks, doing your training, and kind of that noticing things, an awareness of things that almost became, and photographing in particular for you. And I do follow on your social media, the like interesting findings and things that you notice and post about, and you even kind of use the words that it sort of has become a little bit of a spiritual practice. Can you talk a little bit more about what element of that kind of spiritual nature plays into that for you?
Well, nature's always been kind of my go-to for a refreshed soul and spirit. And when you live in the city, quite often you don't really think, you know, about it being in a natural state, I guess. There's lots of concrete, lots of new buildings. You know, I look out my window, I see three new buildings have gone up within a couple of blocks. And so, you know, people talk a lot about mindfulness, which is actually a Buddhist principle, but I think it has a lot of value, you know, from a Christian perspective too, because you can stop and appreciate the beauty of God's creation, little surprises, things that you, you know, you just wouldn't expect to find as you're walking along, even in your own neighborhood where, you know, I've walked my neighborhood streets, gosh, hundreds of times. And I still find things, you know, because gardens are different every year and people put neat little things in their front yards and they paint stones and they put up birdhouses. And it just, those things, I think, add an element of beauty and to an environment where we don't necessarily think of it as beautiful. And I've actually come to appreciate the big buildings. You know, at night, the city skyline has changed so much in Kitchener that I've really grown to appreciate this actually how beautiful all of that urban architecture can be too.
Oh, that's beautiful. It makes me think about have taken some kind of learning explorations with the Center for Action and Contemplation and Richard Rohr and kind of his kind of cohorts who work there, and contemplative prayer is one thing that I've been learning more about in recent years. And so much of one of the forms of contemplative prayer that Richard Rohr talks about is very similar to what you're talking about, of the ability just to notice things that we would otherwise pass by, or things that, especially in a hustle-based, job-driven capitalist culture, to notice things that can't do anything for us, is how he put it. So not just things that, I can get this new book and I can learn this thing, or I can download this podcast, or I can get here to get my coffee, but to notice, like you said, to notice something new on a lawn. Or he even talks about that some people's practices are to notice, to go out and just find something in nature and to be able to just acknowledge and appreciate and sit in something as simple as a leaf or a bush, to be able to zone in on the depth of creation, and the diversity around us, and to really, we get so familiarized with our surroundings to defamiliarize, which is a term that we talk about when I was in theater school, to defamiliarize and see with new eyes that those things that we go by every day can be a hugely powerful spiritual experience.
That's right. Yeah. I see them as gifts, actually.
Oh, that's a great one.
In a way, you know, homeowners do lots to beautify their houses and their gardens. And, you know, when you see a little painted rock or a cute little plastic a figurine of Garfield stuck in a crack in a tree, you know, you kind of appreciate just how much of a gift those can be, especially during the pandemic, where it was like walking was the only thing we could do. And we were so disconnected from everything else. And
I loved that.
Lots of those things just made me laugh.
I loved that kind of trend of painted rocks that cropped up all over at least Southern Ontario in different trails and stuff. Just this little and in a way that doesn't have a negative impact on the environment. Just these little ways of adding, I don't know, something dynamic and something beautiful and something intentional into, you know, a trail that's just behind a subdivision, or a trail that's just outside of the city, or a park. Mm-hmm. And so, I was a big fan of that. And I would love to walk by a tree and see Garfield. That I would get a huge kick out of that. As a Game of
Thrones. I've even walked in forests though and seen, you know, somebody has taken, sliced an orange and then just, you know, strung a string through it and hung it from a tree. And it's like, I don't know why that's there. It's in the
summer,
middle of nowhere.
But decorations.
Just like, yeah. That's kind of neat. The way the light comes through it is just, yeah, it's kind of a neat.
Yeah. As a Game of Thrones fan, there was a trend there's these trees in the Game of Thrones books that have faces on them that are like, that have these ancient faces carved in. And I've had seen people who have put, not carved, cause that's not great for the tree, but have put like eyes and a nose just on a tree. There's a pathway outside one of the camps in Ryerson that every now and then you just see a tree that just has a face that's looking like this smiling face that's looking at you. Yeah. And so, I think it's beautiful that speaks to even then to the, so again, some people can look at this and this Camino walk and say, absolutely, there can be exercise and camaraderie and just the sense of accomplishment, which is a beautiful thing, but that we can also mine into it the deeper spiritual. I see your dog is very excited and he's probably very bummed out that they're not coming with you. Oh, you're...
I muted myself just so, because he has a sharp bark. Yeah, my food has just been delivered, so he's keeping watch.
but yeah, that there is this opportunity to go into seeing how this can be a spiritual practice and a spiritual experience. Yeah, could you talk a little bit about what drew you to decide to do this? It's one thing to go for walks. It's one thing to go on a camping trip. It's one thing to go on a hike, or again, even to do the Bruce Trail, which is relatively more local to those of us who live in Southern Ontario, but to make the choice to find a Camino and to commit to it. What is it that drew you to this experience? That's okay. It makes it more real to have the life of the house, the life, and your dog is so jacked about this and he needs all the time he can get with you in the next 24 hours before you leave.
Yeah. So what drew me to it? I'd actually never heard of the Camino until somebody from Trinity walked it. I was maybe turning 40 years old at the time. So Mirta Rivera used to be the executive director of the KW Multicultural Center. Mm-hmm. David Cook is her partner. And they went to Trinity when we were in the old site at 74 Frederick. And I remember Mirta standing up and saying, I'm going to walk the Camino. And she was interested in raising money for the KW Multicultural Center. Hmm. And I just thought, well, what is that? And I didn't really think too much about it then, but I started following her journey. And she was such a beautiful writer. And as she walked, she would post these blogs that just were, just really drew me in. Hmm. So that was... I thought after reading those, I thought, well, when I turn 50, I'm going to do that. I don't know why I thought in 10 years, maybe I'll be okay to do that or what I was thinking exactly. But I just thought I'll need at least 10 years to save for this thing.
Right.
So I turned 50 in 2019. Anyways, Mirta and David's story is very tragic in the end. And her story has always just kind of sat with me all of those years. Hmm. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll try it. And 2019 rolled around. I had started the year before to walk the Avon Trail. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go in 2020. There was a lot of reasons why I didn't go in 2019. It was quite a stressful year from a family standpoint. So I planned to go in March of 2020 or June 2020. And then of course the pandemic hit. And it was the funniest thing because I hovered so many times. I researched flights so many times, but I never purchased a flight. I just thought I'm going to hold on for that deal.
Yeah.
And I never got the deal because the pandemic hit. But that was great actually in the end, because I have spent 2 years doing longer walks. I walked a lot in the pandemic. I've researched unbelievably. I joined a bunch of Facebook pages for the Camino. There are tons and tons of resources out there. So I feel so totally prepared for this I'm ready to go. But I have Mirta and David actually walked part of the Camino with Mirta at the time. So I have them both to thank for this idea. And then I do keep Mirta's words sort of in the back of my head, or have for the past 10 years or so. I didn't even know Mirta that well, but certainly was a very important person in the church community and also in the wider community. A lot of great work. So it's Mirta's fault, I guess.
Yeah, they would be delighted to know that. So looking ahead to it, even mentioning, as you said, that some folks would do this in a group or partially with partners along the way, partners in crime, and you're embarking on this as a solo journey. Is that for the whole time or for part of the time?
So for the first part or first few days, I'll probably have a walking partner through one of the Facebook pages. I met a Canadian woman who lives in New Zealand. She's lived there for about 35 years. And so she and I are meeting up in Biarritz.
Meeting in the middle.
We'll start out together. Well, actually her parents live in Vancouver. So she's been in Vancouver for the last 10 days.
Gotcha.
And she's flying through Toronto today, to go to Paris, and, she'll be in Biarritz, for 2 nights. And, then I'll meet her there. Well, on what Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, I'll meet her. And there's another woman we've just connected with recently too, who may join us for part of that time. But after that, I may be solo a lot of the time because of the remoteness of these routes. Mm-hmm. But I also think that I will meet people along the way. There is a real community of pilgrims on all of the Caminos. So I think I will meet other people walking and be able to chat with them and make new friends, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, awesome. Looking ahead to that is, obviously, there's an excitement over being able to meet people on this and connect and to share this unique experience, even for part of the way. How does for the solo portions, is that something that you're looking forward to? Is that something that'll be kind of a comfort zone stretch? Is that where, you know, you're most able to, you know, be in that spiritual groove of noticing things and having like often people talk about solitude as a huge spiritual practice. And for me, finding those moments during the day, during the week for silence, stillness, and solitude, another kind of three S's that I've learned from Richard Rohr. That's a huge thing for me in cultivating my spiritual life. What does that look like for you? The solo parts, is that something you're looking forward to or is it going to be a stretch?
I am. I am an introvert by nature. So gotcha. I think, they talk about the sort of three pathways of the Camino. There's the spiritual pathway. There's the physical challenge of it, and there's the mental challenge of it. So I think if I'm walking solo for many, many miles at a time, or even many stages at a time, I will be addressing all three of those. You know, like it will become, I am interested in pushing myself and just seeing how much resilience I have physically, spiritually, and mentally. And I think I will also learn lots about myself in terms of what my limits are. What do I actually need? And what would be really great right now? You know, like, right. You know, sort of filtering the needs versus the desires. And you know, I think the sweet things that come, like the, you know, the cafe con leche when I finally reach the cafe, or putting my feet up at the end of the long day, I think those will be even more sweeter because I've already done some of that hard work that day.
Yeah. Yes. Some hard work, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's the beautiful aspect here of this. I want to use the word tension, but I don't mean that in a negative way, of this tension or paradox between the beauty of the spiritual effect of accomplishing this incredible journey, of being able to journey through so much of creation, and to have this experience, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And like you said, at the end of the day, and particularly, I'm just picturing and imagining and excited for you when you get to that cafe, or when you get to the cathedral and go, wow, like, wow. And for me, I'm like a delayed processor. So that could happen for me, and I'd be like, cool. And then it would be like that bus ride you talked about afterwards of having some time and space to go, holy cow. Like, yeah, I did that.
That's right.
And that sense of the beauty of our capacity as humans, as image bearers, to accomplish these amazing things. And that being in tension and paradox with, like you said, also this incredibly humbling experience of understanding our limits, our small particular place in this vast world and on this vast Camino and in this universe, the ability to go, wow, I am just this one piece. And this Camino itself is this slice of a slice of a slice of this greater world just to begin. So this incredible paradox and tension between the sense of accomplishment and wow, and also the humility. That's what kind of comes up for me when you talk about this journey, and that both of those things I think are so important for us as people, whether we are Christians or people who are spiritual by nature or not, to live into understanding our capacity and our limitations is a really, I think, important thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, it is as much an inner journey as it is an outer journey. It just happens to be in Spain. You know, which isn't that bad.
Yeah,
it could
yeah.
be worse, right?
Yeah, could be worse.
In many ways, though, I feel like that inner journey is not starting tomorrow. Like it started a long time ago.
Hmm.
So I think it's taken a lot of already a lot of self examination, self awareness, self. Curiosity, I guess, to get to this point. And then what happens after is will either confirm or change, you know, the assumptions or the conclusions that I've arrived at already.
This can be a tough question, and feel free to share as much or as little or pass. If you'd like, I'm curious as to, I think that's a really interesting thing you've just brought up, that the spiritual journey has, the spiritual Camino has already begun. What is something that maybe that has surprised you as you stand at the precipice of about to actually embark on the geographical, physical part of the journey as you leave for Spain tomorrow in like literally 24 hours. What's one thing that maybe has surprised you about where the spiritual journey has brought you thus far as you stand about to do it, or something that has shifted or changed or or maybe that has surprised you so far about where you are on that spiritual journey or what has spoken to you?
I mean, the fact that I don't feel anxious about it is a huge, that's a huge thing for me. I have not traveled in this way since I was just coming out of university 30 years ago. virtually every holiday I've taken in the past 25 years has been with my family or my husband, right, or whatever, yep, right? So traveling solo in a culture, in a country where I don't know the language, would be, and actually at the beginning, I felt quite anxious about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I honestly
can imagine.
Yeah. So the fact that I don't feel anxious about it, A, speaks to the amount of research I've done and preparation I've done, but also it speaks to the fact that I, that's a lesson I've learned, that I don't actually have to have all of the ducks in a row for this to be a rewarding, interesting, faith-filled sort of experience.
Wow.
And maybe because of that, it has enhanced my faith even more. Because it's about the control of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's for me in my journey, that's a theme in scripture and in learning about the life and ministry of Jesus that that for me has been picked up as a major theme of the ability for us to so some would say surrender control. Others might say recognize how little control we actually possess in so many things. And that there is at these deep levels of creation and the cosmos, that there is a love that is on side with us, and that we can trust in goodness. We can trust in things like faith and hope and joy. And so it's easy to, for me, you know, in a everyday kind of regular setting in my home base, in my comfort zone, in my neighborhood, in my job, to look up, you know, when Jesus says, don't be anxious about anything, and to go, okay, yeah, I'm not going to be anxious about this meeting that I have today that I'm not prepared for, or I'm a little stressed, or, oh, I have trouble working with this person. It's easy for me to say that when all the other comforts are there, but for you to really be, I don't think it's too big a thing to say for at least a time, uprooting yourself and placing yourself in a completely different rhythm, in different spaces, in a different part of the world, and to be able to go back to that piece that Jesus says. I think it's in Matthew where Jesus talks about, you know, if the birds of the air are taken care of by my heavenly Father, how much more do you think you are looked after and cared for? And so that's a simple concept, but not necessarily an easy concept to actually internalize on a heart and soul level. And so that just is, I think that's a beautiful and inspiring thing for you to share, that there's this sense of going, I'm actually kind of surprised that I'm not anxious. Like, wow, I'm settling into this place of anticipation. And we live in a world with so much. I think there's just a huge, there's a huge swath of anxiety throughout culture right now. And I think that's for a lot of reasons. We are way tuned into more news and world events than we ever have been in history. And we can dive deep into doom scrolling and finding out all the things through my Twitter feed that can give me pause or stress or aggravation. And so for many reasons, I think anxiety is very rampant in so many people right now. and to be able to have a spiritual experience that kind of confronts that and is able to bring healing and restoration for that, whether it's a Camino walk like it is for you, or however someone can approach that and lean into healing from anxiety, into trust, into the ability to feel safety and joy and hope. I think that's a really important thing for so many people in our culture today, whether they are church type people or not.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of as we wrap up here, I wanted to ask, what is one thing that you are particularly looking forward to? Is it the getting on the plane and going, wow, this is really happening right now? Is it that cafe that you mentioned? Is it the surprises that will happen along the way?
I think I'm in it for the views.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be too. I'm a very visual and nature is my jam. That's my Sabbath day, go out into the woods. So I can totally identify with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll be way up in the Pyrenees, overlooking some amazing views. I'll be walking through villages, you know, patting horses in the field beside the track, you know, all of that. Everything is going to be new to me. I'm just going to take it one day at a time. I'm also looking forward to the, I've got 10 days in Ireland with my in-laws and my Irish pen pal at the end. So I'm also kind of looking forward to that a lot too.
Oh, awesome.
I'm actually shipping a box of warmer clothes to myself over
Very astute, very smart. Something I would never think of. So you are very well prepared.
Oh, awesome. I hope so.
How can, as a Trinity community, as a hub community, as anyone who's listening to this and is inclined, how can we be praying for you? What's something that you would like kind of specifically prayer over for this journey?
Safety, I guess, would be the biggest thing. I mean, traveling as a woman anywhere, sometimes, you know, always, actually, you have to be aware of things. So safety is kind of the biggest thing. But yeah, I guess strength when I need it most, physical strength when I need it most, mental strength when I need it most. Spiritual strengths when I need it most. Those would be the key things. And if people actually would like to follow along, I signed up to post on Polar Steps, which is an app that allows people to sort of see the photos that I upload. There'll be a little bit of commentary of what I've seen during the day or the places I went.
Perfect. And that's just what I was going to ask, is how people can follow along. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a little map as well. So you can see the different places I've been through each day, or as often as I can post. I don't know what the Wi-Fi situation will be like.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and hopefully there'll be points where not for a lack of safety, but for the ability to unhook from technology and Wi-Fi, hopefully there'll be points of being outside of that to just have you and creation and creator and a break from the vibrating in the pocket and the ringing.
Yeah. All of that is going to be off. I probably will not be posting through the day. I'll probably do it at the end when I get to wherever I'm staying. It'll be a bit of work to kind of pull all that together at the end of each day or as often as I can, but I'll do my best to kind of get all up to date.
Well, we will post a link to the Polar Steps blog in the caption of wherever you're listening to this. And we'll also post it on our Trinity website and social media and stuff so that people can follow along and cheer on from afar and be praying from afar.
Yeah. Thank you. If you just want to see the pictures and the commentary, you don't need to sign up for the app. But if you'd like to cheer on and comment,
definitely do.
Then you do need your own account for that.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage those who are listening, especially Trinity members who know Lorianne, that's worth a download to be able to do that, because I think it's, you know, there's the extra layer of this having that spiritual significance, but no matter what, for a community member to be embarking on a journey like this, I mean, to be the church, to be a body of Christ is to, as I think Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message version, to stand shoulder to shoulder. And whether that's actually on the path of the Camino or emotionally, mentally, spiritually, through a text message or a comment from afar, to be able to offer that love and support, yeah. I think is part of our call and responsibility as a community. So I definitely encourage those who are listening to download that app. And follow along and cheer on from afar.
It will be much, much appreciated on my end for sure.
Good. There you go. So that's a way we can support. Awesome. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited to follow along, to cheer along, and to hear also from you when it's all said and done. And at this point, on the spiritual journey, on the precipice where you are about to embark, to then check in when this stage of it is done and find out and hear from you about what the experience was like, and how God surprised you, how you surprised yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm just so excited for the next 24 hours as you do the final prep, as you get the final cuddles in with the dog, and probably also hugs and kisses with the family too.
I think the dog will miss me the most.
it could be. I'm sure everyone will be excited for you too. And I'm just, so excited for you. So thanks for being willing to take time, especially just a day before you're leaving, to take this time and to talk today about this journey and about how we can follow along and support. I'm praying for a great and safe trip over, and those first few days with your walking partner, and with the spots that you've already booked, that they could be a really just successful way to start on this journey. And I can't wait to talk more when you're back from it. So thanks for chatting.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that. Awesome. Thanks for this opportunity. It's been fun to chat about the journey in all its forms.
Good. Awesome. That's all for now. So thanks to Lorianne for joining us. I'm Adam Creswell, and we will chat with you next time. See you later.
Good. All right.